You love Jesus. Yes. Well, if you love the Lord, you can sit down. If not, stand up so I know who you are. I really hate it when nobody ever does it. I said, can't they make my job easy? But how many of you know we're in a new season? How many of you know it's Pentecost Sunday too?
Amen.
How many of you are ready to embrace the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
He's in here. He wants to move.
Yes.
There's a special time in the Spirit. And God wants you to know that He'll always give you strength for what He's called you to do.
Amen.
You need to understand that. Whatever you're called to do, you always will have strength to do it. Now you got to check if it's something you're called to do. But if you know you're called to do it, He'll pay for it with His presence. I don't know about you, I'm very excited today. I do have a couple of books with me. And actually the newest book we just picked up right before I left for Grace Maine last week is my wife wrote a book called Prayer Lady. And it's basically a fictional book, but if this doesn't cause you to pray, I don't know anything that won't. Because it literally traces an old lady in her prayer life, and then when she gets to heaven, and all the reports she begins to hear in heaven about what she did on earth.
Oh, Lord.
And it's an amazing book. I read it, I begin to cry, because it is my wife. She's not this old. But it is my life. Come on now. Because that's what she lives. She lives to pray in the presence of God. Now, many of you know I wrote a book last year. It's still doing so well, called Shut Up and March. And sometimes, I remember, I was back in February of this year, actually. And you know how the weather was? It was crazy. And I woke up. I'm supposed to preach in Texas. It's -5 in Tulsa. And I got to drive 500 miles to meet with staff and preach a couple times the next day. And you know, my body wasn't feeling it. Come on now. It's like I had to get up at 5 a.m. to do what I needed to do. And I really didn't feel like it. I said, Lord, I really need a word from you. So I opened up my trunk, and here was the cover of my book, Shut Up and March. I said, okay, that's my word, man. So even if you don't like the book, just keep the cover around. Come on, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Because there are moments. There's moments you just got to tell your body, do the right thing. Come on, I don't care if you feel like it.
That's right. Amen.
Feelings are fickle. Well, we're having some fun today. I always have fun, because if you don't enjoy God, you won't enjoy heaven. And if you don't enjoy God, chances are you won't make it.
Okay.
No. Come on, we're going to have some fun. But I want to get into something real strong today. How many of you have ever had pet peeves? You know what I'm saying? Those things you hear and you think they're not going there. I've heard so many scriptures that have been preached wrong. And there, I think my number one pet peeve of all time, and it was weird because I had just met this pastor in Maine. He has one of the larger churches in Maine, very good man of God, but I had never heard him preach before. And I had spent some time with him, and then he put something up on Facebook, and I thought, do I really want to listen? Because he said, I want to preach on the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And it's like, oh yeah, here we go, schizo God again. You never know if He's going to put sickness on you, take it off of you. You never know what He's going to do, if He's in good mood that day, bad mood that day. Come on now. It makes it sound so weird. So I thought, okay, I'll listen just for a second. And then he began to say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. He said, the Lord gives healing. Takes away sickness and disease. The Lord gives prosperity, takes away poverty. The Lord gives hope and takes away hopelessness. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Come on now. And that's what the anointing does. In Acts 10:38, we know how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Went about doing good and healing those oppressed of the devil. So He does two things for you today, and we need both. There are things we need to receive from God today.
Yes.
And I guarantee you, there are some things we need Him to take away.
Yes.
Come on now. Because you cannot loose yourself from things or you'll be loosed. It takes the anointing to destroy yokes and remove burdens. Come on now. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Without that anointing, you can try as hard as you can, and some things you'll overcome by just self-will. But others,
yes,
take divine assistance.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
See, God wants to literally take away everything that's destroying you and put in everything that's good for you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And He's here to do it today. So we need to begin to understand that. How many, I was thinking about this today, about this church. You know, every new mandate requires a new mantle.
Yeah.
It's a new level of anointing.
Yes.
See, the anointing that kept you in the last chapter is not the anointing that's going to bring you to the next one.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
Glory.
So you have to have an encounter to get there. You know, and I began to think about, you know, when my brother and I were, you know, growing up, we were good athletes. In fact, I was a great athlete. He was good. He was really good. That's why I was great, because he was younger than me, and I did everything with him, and I began to do things better than him. And I was 3 years younger, so that made me great. But I remember when we used to train, we used to run on the beach. And we would run on the beach with ankle weights on. And you know, if you ever did, and you know, and when the sand's not packed down, when it's loose like that, it's hard to run anyway. But then when you put the weights on, it's like you're going nowhere sometimes. It's just, you're doing the best you can. But I remember, you know, we would do that for a while, and then we would take the weights off. And we felt like we were flying. And Hebrews 12:1 talks about throwing off the sins and the weights. Come on. You know, we're looking unto Jesus. There's certain things we need to put off, and there's things we need to put on to be successful. And you know, I asked God, because God gave me two words for this year, it's maximum impact. He said, everything you've got to do is this the maximum impact. Because I do a lot of good things, but sometimes the good things are robbing me from God's best things. There are a lot of things I do in front of large crowds that have impact. But there are things I do behind the scenes with the next generation that has maximum impact. And I need to recognize the difference between the two. Come on. And so do you. Does this have maximum impact? What impact? You are made to have impact. You are made to be a difference maker. Come on. To make a difference in your generation. That's what you were made to do. And I began to think about it, like in Romans 13:11 said, now it's high time we awake out of sleep. And it said that we got to put on the armor of light. Come on. And then verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. See, I found out every day I've got to clothe myself properly.
Yeah.
I got to dress for success. Come on now. Yeah. And that's not outward dress. That is literally dressing up in Christ. Putting on Christ every day that when people see me, they see Him.
Amen.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
It's putting on the same attitude as the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 13:11, it talks about being clothed with compassion.
Yeah.
Because nothing works without the compassion of God.
Amen.
In fact, without it, you know, Jack wrote a book about it. But the truth is, everything's noise. You can do the right thing with the wrong motive, and it's just a bunch of noise. Because literally, motive is everything. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. It's always the heart issue.
That's right.
Why are we doing this? Every day I wake up, I say, do I really care? Do I really care people are perishing? Do I really care for the hungry? Do I care the fact that people are addicted? Do I care that people are dying young? Or is it just about me? Because if it's just about me, we got the wrong heart.
Yeah.
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 It's more blessed to give than to receive. Which means you have to receive in order to give. But once you receive, you have responsibility to give. You freely receive, you freely give.
Yes.
If you've been forgiven, you offer forgiveness to others.
Yes.
If you've been healed, pray for the sick. Yes. Whatever you receive was never supposed to stop with you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And to be honest with you, if you keep giving what you receive, you never have to go back to where you had to receive it.
Wow.
Glory.
Come on. It's the blessing. It's the kingdom way.
Amen.
It's an amazing way. And in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me." You know, he never started his ministry until he could say, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. I'm clothed properly now."
Amen.
I can do the job because I'm clothed. And so many Christians, honestly, you know, the Spirit lives in you for you. The Spirit comes upon you for others. When you're selfish, you can still have the Spirit of God living in you. But you're not anointable. Because the anointing is because the people that are blind, the people that are bound, they're people that have lost their hope and lost their vision. And honestly, they need to see the anointing.
Amen.
So the Spirit of God coming upon us is part of what makes the whole earth glorious. You are made to be for the anointing of God. You are made to wear Jesus and wear Him well. So I began to recognize so many things. I remember when I was walking with Oral Roberts years ago, and that's funny, but this thing's bouncing a little bit, but that's okay. We'll see. Yeah, I've tried to find a place where it pops, so every time I see someone fall in the street, I... Anyway. That's where my mind writes. Rabbit. No.
Right.
Yeah. I got to get back on track now. That's it. Yeah. I didn't ask Jack to help me, but he's caught up. Yeah, I was with Oral Roberts. I mean, it's funny because, I remember years ago, and I tell the story often, but it changed my life. I was at Oral Roberts University. My favorite meal of all the time, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. Because I love to eat. And honestly, it's a legal cheat day for me. I can eat anything I want to that day and not feel bad about it. So I love Thanksgiving. And my family, we do Thanksgiving right. There's a reason why we were like big little people. We weren't tall, but we were wide. My dad was 5'5 by 5'5. My grandma was 5 foot by 5 foot and ran in the family. When I saw SpongeBob SquarePants, I knew he was related. So, you know. So, I mean, I was looking so forward to going home because, I mean, when we have more food, my wife would laugh. She said, "I've never seen so much food in my life when I go to your place." I mean, each one of us, when I was growing up, we would each order a large pizza. I was 7 years old. 16 pieces. I knew exactly how many. 16 pieces of pizza. And I had dessert. And they wondered why I was a little porky. That's why I had to play pro ball so I wouldn't be, you know. I had to exercise like 7 hours a day in order to get up. But yeah, I'm at Oral Roberts University, mind my own business, and I'm praying, and the Lord said, "I want you to stay on campus." Well, my dad had already sent me the ticket, and my mom had died earlier that year. My dad had just come to know the Lord. So I was thinking, what scripture could I use to disobey God? Don't look at me that way. I found one. There's always one. And it wasn't out of context, but it is when the Spirit of God said to do something else.
Yeah.
But it was honor your father and mother.
Yeah.
With the, you know, with this, you'll have long life. It'll go well with you. And I said, "Lord, you said in your word, I got to honor my dad. Now I'm going to call my dad and ask him if he wants me to come home. He paid for the ticket already. And I have to obey him. I have to honor him. I have to go love him. It's your word, Lord. So I called my dad. And I explained to him, I said, Lord told me if I stay on campus, that there's a blessing for me. I actually heard that. But then I said, Dad, if you want me home, if you love me, if you miss me, if you want me home, I have to, the Bible says I need to obey you. I need to honor you. And my dad says this, he said, If God said he has a blessing for you on campus, what's the question? And I thought, now you get to be spiritual. So I remember staying on campus, me and 10 other foreign students, because they had too far to go. Eating my Thanksgiving meal out of cans. While my dad, you know, all my family was putting up pictures of all the food. So I'm sitting there. By the time the next morning came, I'm not a happy camper. So I went to the aerobic center where we work out. I was going to pump iron, pump out. That's what I had. I've just got to get this frustration out. So I'm pumping iron. In walks Oral Roberts. I had never seen Oral on campus without security. In fact, you never saw him above ground much because at Oral Roberts University, there's tunnels between every building because Oral had threats on his life. So he would go under the tunnels, come out of the tunnel to make a personal appearance, go back under the tunnel. So, I mean, him being out in public without security was amazing, but there were only 10 of us. And I'm lifting weights. He came over to me and said, "Son, what's your name?" I couldn't remember. I said, "Woo, woo, 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 woo." He said, "I used to be a stutterer too. God healed me." So finally I caught myself. I said, "Winnie, what's in?" And he said, "What are you called to do?" I told him what I called to do. He said, "You mind if you take a walk with me?" He said, "I want to share some secrets with you." And I spent 20 to 30 minutes walking around the track with Oral Roberts as he told me how he prepped for meetings. As he told me how he could tell if there was a demon in the room. And he took it at the very end. I felt like my heart was burning. I felt like I was walking with Jesus. You cannot pay enough money for that. That was the most valuable thing I ever had in all my education, was that 20-minute walk. And he said, "If you don't remember anything else when you left," he said, don't ever forget this. And he told me, he said, before he would go out to minister at the Crusades, he said, a lot of times, he said, I would go out and we would actually have worship going on for a couple of hours. He said, until I could sense the Spirit of God coming upon me, I wouldn't get on the stage. Because he said, every time I did, he said, occasionally I did it that way. And when I did, I could preach the same message and no miracles. But when the Spirit of God came upon me, it was like Jesus himself. And he said, I started to have, and Luke 24:49 says, "See too, you don't leave Jerusalem until the Spirit of the Lord has clothed you with power. See to it, you don't try to do it in your own strength." And most of the church world is natural, not supernatural. Because they're not walking in the anointing of God. So I began to recognize so much of that, about how we need to put on the full armor of God every day. Clothe ourselves. But then I began to ask God, I said, "God, how do we get the maximum impact?" And he said, "Pick up your mantle." And I started thinking about that. I said, "Well, Lord, what do you mean?" He said, "Every new level has a new anointing." And he said, the glory of the church is honestly when you begin to operate with the mantle zone. And you got to understand, every single generation has anointing in the last, and all the mantles that have ever been here are still here. When Oral Roberts died, his mantle stayed. When Catherine Kuhlman died, her mantle stayed. Why? Because the mantle's not for heaven, it's for earth. That's why when Elijah went up, the mantle still had to stay down. Come on. Because it was for what God was going to do there. So I began to think about that, and I began to say, what do I need to pick up every day? And then the first mantle is the mantle of purpose. Be honest with you, you need to know the why. You know, success, I always tell people, when God said, "Good, well done, thou good and faithful servant," what he's saying is you did what I created you to do.
Amen.
The success in any product is honestly when it fulfills the intent of its creator. That's a successful product. The success in life is when you fulfill the intent of the one who created you. You're created on purpose for a purpose.
Yes.
Come on. And you're perfect for the purpose. So you begin to understand even that David, when it said after he fulfilled the purpose of his generation, he fell asleep. That's when you're allowed to sleep. When you fulfill your purpose, then it's over. But when you have a heart after God, you want to fulfill all the purpose. You want to do everything that pleases God.
Yeah.
And see, many of you, honestly, the only one who can define you is the one who designed you. So you can't just look in the natural. You've got to get alone with God and let Him. The glory of God will set you apart on purpose, for a purpose. You know, I always tell the story with my son when, you know, at 6 years old, he had such a major encounter with God. It changed his life forever. And we were watching a video, starving kids in Africa, and the Spirit of God came on and began to weep uncontrollably. They could sense the presence in the room. He went back, picked up his piggy bank, which was life savings. And he said, "Daddy, this is what I'm giving to help these people. What are you giving?" And that was expensive then. It's expensive now. But he looked over at me, and when he picked up the piggy bank, God said, "Son, I've given you $1 billion brain." He said, "You will build me an orphanage in every country in the world." And he held on to both of those. Because there's a purpose for prosperity. And my son has a special anointing, just like Joseph in the Bible, to distribute wealth. So I began to recognize he understood his purpose. And he began to live in his purpose on a continual basis. See, what I found out is when you're living in purpose, the devil won't kill you early. It will literally, you will fulfill the number of your days. When Jesus preached, they tried to throw him off a cliff. And he said, "My time has not yet come." What he was saying is, it's not time. I haven't fulfilled my purpose. You cannot touch me yet. Come on. You cannot touch me. I remember years ago when I thought I had a brain tumor, and the doctors thought I had a brain tumor, and they were about ready to operate. And I was so afraid until a little boy prayed for me, and literally a children's church in Kansas, and chains broke off. But the first thing that came to my mind was the healing scriptures. I was claiming those, but I was claiming them in fear, trying to get into faith. But when the chains broke off, the first thing that came to my mind is, "I don't have time to die."
Amen.
So I remember calling the doctor and said, "Just cancel the surgery. I don't have time to die."
Amen.
Come on now. I'll let you know when I have time to die. But it's not now. And I was 30-something years old back then. And I'm your age now, Jack, which is young. Come on now. If you turn it backwards, it's young. Hallelujah. But the bottom line is you begin to recognize everything's on purpose. You begin to live on purpose, move on purpose. And I begin to think about Elijah and Elijah and how literally, how many people understand, until you experience the mantle, you have a natural life. Once you experience the mantle, it sets you apart. And we see Elijah. I love Elijah because Elijah reminds me of me to a degree. In fact, my middle name's Ellis, means son of Elijah. I used to hate it. Hate the fact that my dad called me Ellis. He called my brother Calhoun. I like Ellis better. But still, his name was Curtis. Why couldn't I have been Curtis instead of Ellis? So when people ask me what's your middle name, I'd say Elvis. Because back then, hey, you know, I'm a little impersonator here. Hey! Because Elvis was cool back then. Elvis wasn't. But I started thinking about Elijah, and Elijah I love. You see him call a whole nation to repentance in 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you be halted between two opinions? He was a challenger, man. He challenged the entire 450 prophets of Baal, called fire down. He was under the anointing. He was something else.
Yes.
So are all of us.
Amen.
Apart from the anointing, not so impressive. So are all of us. I mean, he's faced off of 450 prophets of Baal. No problem. One woman, big problem.
Yeah,
the queen said, "I'm gonna kill you." He just called down fire. I mean, she could have been roasted. But now, I mean, and he's a guy who called bears out. I mean, could call a bear out of the woods. Did it with the ball. Kids that call them baldy. Yeah, that's what I said. Beware of what you say to me. No. But you see him running and hiding and having a pity party.
Yeah.
And he's saying there, "I'm the only one left." And maybe I thought, "Oh, I've sacrificed so much for you, God." Come on, get real. The Lord gets him, finds him in his face, and honestly speaks to him, not the way, not, "Man, this is fantastic." You know, we're expecting spectacular, and usually a still small voice will wake us up. Something clicks. And the Lord said, "Hey, there's 7,000 people that didn't bow their knee. You're not the only one." And then he fed them. The angel of the Lord fed them. And then that was good food because he went 40 days without being hungry. But there's one reason why Elijah was depressed. I understand this one. Because success without a successor is failure. And he was carrying something that he was supposed to deposit, but he couldn't find where to deposit it. So here he is coming out of the trip. He sees this young guy named Elijah plowing. And he runs by him and throws the mantle on, finally. And as soon as the mantle hits Elijah, he goes from plowman to prophet. If you've never had an encounter with God like that, you need one.
Yeah.
At one moment, you're one thing. At the next moment, the anointing brought you to a whole different place. And literally, he ran after Elijah. Because he didn't, you know, what many people, what they'll have is they'll have an encounter with God put in their prophetic notebook. And it doesn't move them one bit. And they wonder why their life is still the same. This changed everything with Elijah. Elijah said, "I got to go back." And you know, we've heard that. We got to go back. Well, there's no turning back unless you're burning the bridges. And he went back not to relive his old life, but to literally make sure he could never go back there again by burning up the oxen. Then he served the man of God that wasn't Mr. Personality for all these years. And there are 51 people in the school of the prophets, but there's only one son. Because the rest of them stayed at a distance. Elijah served up close. The anointing's not taught, it's caught. I teach at a distance, I train up close. I teach other people's kids, I train mine. I require a whole different standard for the people I train than the people I teach.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Period. You know, and I try to get rid of people just like Elijah did. I try to scare them away. And if I can't get rid of them, they're mine. Come on. tried to insult them to get them to go away. I tried to offend them, and if they don't go away, I got to do something with them. Come on. So you see that. And he's serving. Everyone knew the day that Elijah was going to leave. Everyone knew the day. All the 50 prophets, basically the 50 school, the prophet students were saying, hey, leave the man alone. He's about ready to go. And Elijah said, I didn't serve this little guy just for his personality. He's got something I want.
Amen.
He's got something I need. I am not letting him leave here until I get my full deposit. Come on now.
Amen.
And you see that they followed that distance, and he followed up close, and finally the prophet said, what is your problem? Elijah looks at him, what is your problem? What do you want? He said, I want a double portion of what you have, old man. He said, you asked a hard thing, not impossible. But he said, if you see me when I go, you'll get it. And I love the way Elijah left, because my son has one of the fastest cars in the world. I mean, it's got 1,000 horsepower.
Oh,
wow. It's amazing. It's just amazing, 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 amazing. Amazing is kind of like from another dimension. And I love the vehicle because I love speed. You know, if anyone knows about me, it's fast and faster. So when I the way Elijah left in the chariots of fire, you know that was quick. I said, Lord, that's my ride, baby. That's my ride. Send it back. Send it back. I'm a ride. That's better than any roller coaster around the world I've ridden. Come on. But when he went up, the mantle came down. And then all the other sons of the prophets who went and were looking all around for the body. You study it. But Elijah had eyes on one thing. He could care less about the body. He was gone, man.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want what's been taken out. I want what remains.
Yeah, amen.
I want what's here for me. Come on now. This is my portion. And when he picked up, he said, where is the God? He picks up the man. Where is the God of Elijah? And he's parched the sea. And then he does twice as many miracles. See, when you begin to live on purpose, there's anointing to your purpose. So you pick up the mantle of purpose. And then you've got to pick up the mantle of his word or you get weird. Period. I get around people all the time. They get so flaky in the spirit that they don't even know when a word's not from God because they don't know the word. Come on. There are times I feel like screaming. Stop it. You know? But how many of you understand you got to put on the mind of Christ? You got to renew your mind daily. Come on to the Word of God. You need to live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. The Word becomes the stability of your life. You know what's right and wrong because of the Word of God. You know how to grow up because of the Word of God. You know how to live because of the Word. You know, I get around people and they wonder why their faith is weak. Well, they only eat once a week. If you're not feeding daily, your faith is feeble. I don't know about you. Every time I wake up, the Word's talking to me. During the day, it begins to pop out. There are times I don't even think about Scripture. It just pops in my mind. God begins to quicken some things. Why? Because you're so full of the Word. How many of you understand when pressure comes on, what you're full of comes out?
Yeah,
yeah. You always tell what people are full of by what comes out of their mouth. So I don't have to convince myself about the healing power of God. No one has to convince me anymore about being made righteous. No one has to convince me about the goodness of God anymore. I'm totally settled on these things, man. They're foundations in my life. When you're founded in the Word, storms come, storms leave. I have a little book out there that talks about tough times for tough people. It's actually a checklist of when we're going through trials, I look at this list. I said, these are the things we do because that's how what's gotten us through everything before. It's okay. You know, it's okay. And there's something about having an experience with God over the years. How many of you, one word from God will transform your life forever? Yeah. One word, one revelation. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and what it means is we go from revelation that causes transformation to transformation. Come on now. Without revelation, there is no transformation. Come on. But as God becomes more real and He begins to reveal Himself and unveil Himself, your life is changed to a new level. So you begin to embrace the Word of God. And then you basically, what happens when you get into that, you begin to really put on the mantle of prayer, which I happen to be married to a major prayer warrior. There's a mantle of prayer. I'll be honest, you show me someone that's not praying, they're not receiving. You have not because you ask not. Till now you've asked for nothing in my name. Asking you shall receive. You show me someone that's not praying, they're not bringing heaven to earth because you have to pray this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thine. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What I found out is many times in prayer, literally when you put on the mantle of prayer, the mantle of authority comes too. Because honestly, there are times you decree a thing and it's established. You hear something from God and you become the authority over it. I don't know how many times we have taken authority over tornadoes. Living where we are, we have to. I remember the first time God told me to speak to a storm that was in New York. I'm basically dedicating a little league field in my hometown. And there's like 5,000 fans in the stands. 100% chance of rain, and it's raining. And because I played a little bit of ball and was well known there, they had me dedicated. And I got up on the mound. I mean, I literally was in the dugouts pouring down rain. I said a little prayer and went back. And the coach on the other team said, "Hey, Wilson." I went to high school with him. He said, "You know the man upstairs." And he's laughing. "Make it stop raining." And you know, I laughed. And I heard the Lord say, "Do it." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Make it stop raining." I said, "Really? I had never done this before." So, I mean, sometimes God will lead you into the new.
Yes.
But if He says it, you got the authority to do it.
Yes.
Come on now. I couldn't do it until He told me to.
Amen.
You know, I can't change the weather unless He actually tells us, speak to it. And I remember, you know, sitting out there, and I said, "How do I do?" He said, "I want you to walk in the middle of the field, stand on the pitching rubber, and command the clouds to part." I said, "Lord, I'd rather do it in the dugout. Because if it doesn't work, nobody sees me. Come on now."
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to get soaked. He said, "I want you." I said, "Lord, I don't want to be seen." He said, "If they don't see you, they don't see me."
Amen.
So I went in the middle of the field, got on the pitching rubber, felt as stupid as I ever had in my life. And this is what I said to the clouds. I said, "Clouds, you better obey me or you're going to make me look stupid. But God told me to speak to you. So I command you to go and split and leave in Jesus' name." As soon as I prayed, I kept my eyes closed because I didn't want to see. By the time I got to the dugout, all these kids' eyes, the little leaguers, their eyes are really... They said, "How'd you do that, man?" And I looked up there, one of the clouds in the sky. Literally, the clouds parted.
Yeah.
Perfect. It was a sign. It was a wonder.
Yeah.
It was the authority. I mean, Joshua commanded the sun to stay still for 24 hours. At least I can do a cloud thing. Come on now.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But you begin to recognize that. But your authority is tied to your ability to hear from God.
Amen.
Let me show you what happened last year. I am driving down I-44. And I see this tornado. And I can actually see in front of me. You know, the sirens are going off. I'm watching trees go. And I am determined that it's not going to stop me, man.
Amen.
Because I've spoken to them in the past, watched them go. So I'm speaking as I'm watching. And I'm hearing the Lord say, get off the road now. But I'm overriding it because I'm a man of faith. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is I'm stupid. Come on now. When you override the voice of God, you're stupid. And honestly, I mean, and I finally heard God. I mean, I missed one exit, and now he's screaming at me. Get off now. And I got off. I pulled into this gas station. There were me and seven other people. They're all praying, so we're having a revival. They pulled up the weather thing. We're right in the eye of the tornado. Literally, all around us. Trees are being uprooted, and yet the calmest place I've ever been is right in the middle of a tornado. There was no wind at all right where we were. All around us, 110, 120 mile an hour winds, all around us. If I stayed on the highway, I would have died. And people would say, why did God allow it? Because somebody was stupid. Come on. So the mantle of prayer will save your life. The mantle of authority makes sure you've got the authority. You're authorized. Because there are times I'm not authorized to do this. There are some storms God told me, you can pray this thing away. There are other storms he's told me, you're going to go through it and you're going to be fine. And it always turns out, when I listen to God, it turns out just like he said. I wish I could avoid everyone. I remember the first time I rebuked a tornado. I had a brand new suit on. Brand new. Good one, man. I just bought. I like that suit. I see a tornado. I said, right now, it's right around St. Louis. Going down. And I heard them say, if you're at such and such a place at I-44, pull your car off the road, lay down in the ditch. And I'm looking at this suit. And something rose up in me. No way I am going to get this suit that dirty. I mean, I just got it, man. And I think it was a God thing, because I did stand up and command the tornado. I just commanded to jump the highway. Well, it did. It took out of town. Now I'm being more specific. So when you have authority, how many of you understand what I'm saying? You got a word from God, you got authority. But you know, honestly, there are times with me, I'll walk into a place, I have a word from the Lord. Many times I've given words over vice presidents, I've given words over some very important people. And when I'm carrying the word of the Lord, I'm coming in as the authority. The moment I release the word, I got to go back on the natural authority. I just have an assignment.
Amen.
See, there's a mantle for an assignment. And then the anointing lifts. Why? There's no reason for it. So people think they're going to walk in the anointing 24/7. Why? Your body couldn't take it. The glory will come on you for a reason. And then he'll tell you, rest. Come on. Because honestly, just for that one season, you're set apart for that. And the rest of the time, he's still with you.
Amen.
Does this make sense?
Yes. Amen.
I want you to see something now. And then once you begin to walk, and he's giving you all authority to tread upon serpent, scorpion, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, you're allowing too much. Don't let the devil steal. Time to do some binding, some doing, some loosing. It's time to take back what the devil stole.
Amen.
Use the authority of Christ.
Yes.
We're not like everybody else. You got to understand who your daddy is.
Yes.
And use his name. Use his name. I'm a name dropper, man. I drop the name of Jesus everywhere I go. I'm a name dropper. When I was growing up, and my dad was a fairly wealthy man and very successful, when I needed to, I would drop his name. Come on. I would say, hey, you know who my daddy is? As soon as I said who my daddy was, they all straightened up. Come on now. Sometimes I got to tell the devil, you know who my daddy is? Come on now. You about ready to get a whooping. Do you know I'm the spirit of whoopers in me? Come on. But once you begin to operate on that, you put on the mantle of compassion. And the mantle of compassion, to me, it's the strongest mantle there is right now. Because love never fails. Faith works by love. Everything works by love. And I began to realize that. And I remember when God said, I want you to make maximum impact. He began to deal with me. He said, what are you going to do with the coffee shop you go to every morning? I said, what? I'm going to drink coffee. I don't do anything until I drink my coffee. I mean, Lord, you know, I had trouble listening to you until I drink my coffee. I'm sorry, it's just real. He said, how come you haven't changed the atmosphere of the coffee house? And I knew what he was getting at. So I remember walking in there. And I already knew the manager. I mean, I knew the people there. And I don't drink. You know, I don't drink these coffees that are foo-foo. You want me to get upset? Get me upset? You get around people, and they have to go on a diet because they drink coffee. I drink strong coffee. Really strong coffee. I mean, really strong coffee. Mm. And I remember going in, and I met with the manager, and I told him, I said, hey, I got a special relationship with God. And I said, if you need any prayer for anything, let me know. And he looked at me and said, my shoulder's hurting. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. I prayed for him. He was healed. The coffee tasted better. The next day, I come into the coffee shop, and they're literally lined up. He had told all these people, you need prayer. The man of God's coming in tomorrow. You need prayer. So now, I actually have to give him my schedule when I leave town. Because when I go there in the morning, there's a prayer line. It's changed the whole atmosphere. Your gift will make room for you. Then I was in, you know, in April I was in vacation with my wife, and you know, again I have a lot of things with coffee, food and coffee, baby. Yeah, I was staying in a nice hotel. They had a Starbucks on the bottom of it in Branson, and I was sitting there, and my wife was with a lot of her friends on things during the day, and I would go in the morning I'd go to this coffee shop, and they had this lady, and she had all these piercings. You know? Young, pretty girl, but she had piercings everywhere. And I don't look at it, I'm impressed, man. Because I love it, man. I love piercings. You know why I love piercings? Because now I don't have to just put the hook in the jaw. Everywhere I throw, there's a hook. So I would try, and immediately I said, God, I want her. She's my heathen. And I talked to her for several days, but it was always crowded. The last day I was there, I actually woke up. I knew something was going on because I woke up praying for her. I mean, literally woke up and I was already praying for her. My wife's hearing me praying for this. It was so much on my heart. I went down there, and it was a miracle. There was no crowds. It was a full hotel, nobody at the carpet. So I was going up to talk to her, and the Lord said, give her a $20 bill and tell her, I told you to give it to her. So I went up and I said, hey, God told me to give this to you. Here, I just want to bless you. God told me to give this to you. She starts crying. And she looks over at me. She said, that's an answer to prayer. She said, I was praying this morning that God would show me if he's really real.
Wow.
And he said, she pulled out this little pamphlet, a tract. She said, a man gave this to me 3 days ago. I've been reading it. And there's a prayer on the back. But she said, I wasn't willing to pray the prayer unless I knew God was real. She said, and I looked at it, and I made sure the prayer was scriptural. And it was. And I said, do you want to pray? She said, yes. And she began to pray. And I remember walking away from there thinking, wow, what an encounter. There's so many things like that. I have a place where I get my snacks. It's all about food. I'm a foodie. Woody the foodie. So I remember there's been a homeless camp there a lot. And I love the homeless. I really do. Honestly do. I love them. There are a lot of them you cannot get in buildings. I hate that. So a lot of times I'll go bring blankets and stuff like that, but I can't. I mean, they just will not stay in a building. They have these demonic things going on, I think. But I want to help them. And I remember I was going in and you know, God will fine-tune me with the compassion of Christ. And I looked over there, and there's this little teenage girl. You can tell she's broken. Totally broken. My heart went out, and my heart moves, my feet move. So I went over to her, and I said, honey, you okay? I knew she wasn't. She looked up at me, and she said, I'm hungry. I said, do you want me to go in the building, you know, here and get you something to eat? Just tell me what you want. She said, can I go in with you? Now, what I had not known is those were the first words she had spoken in over a year and a half.
Wow.
To anyone. So I brought her in and I told her, I said, you can have all the food you want, no alcohol, no cigarettes. But whatever food you need. And she had cleared out the donut section. And you know, we become friends over the last year. Still can't get her in the building to stay. But when it got below zero, we'd bring extra blankets. Do whatever we could. But she, you know, she told me, she said, you know why I talked to you? She said, because you're a safe place. And that went right through me. What would happen if the church ever became a safe place for broken people? See, it's part of my gifting. I know it is. I know it's part of my gifting. I know it is. My wife said, "You, everybody knows you. Everybody." She said, I don't understand that. You go, you know, we change banks. He said, within the week, everybody in the bank knows you. And you know everything about their lives. I get on elevator. She starts apologizing to everybody. Like, I'm sorry, he's just this way. You know? And it's just the way it is. Let me show you one more thing, and we're going to pray for you in a second. Is this okay? There's a mantle that wants to come on you because there are people assigned to you. Years ago, when I was playing high school baseball, my senior year, I was big stuff or whatever. You know, I always laugh when they say that. But when I played, I was about ready to sign a pro contract and all that. There's a little 7-year-old boy. He lived right down the street from where the field was. And he would come to watch the practices. And he looked so sad. And I remember, it's something in me even back in those days. I didn't even know Christ yet. But there's something in me. And I reached out and I said, well, you become my bat boy. And he became my bat boy when I was at home games. So I went to my coach. I said, I won't take him on the road with us. And they said, well, you'll have to get permission, his parents, to sign a permission slip. We can't have the liability. And I went to the parents and said, I talked to him. I said, why are you so sad? He said, my sister died of cancer 4 months ago. He said, I am just hurting. There are a lot of hurting people out there.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything about it, but I watched his countenance change throughout the year. And 17 years later, I'm ministering in Los Angeles. I get a phone call from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they said, we have a player that wants to meet with you. And do you have time? I said, I always have time for a pro ball player. And I remember walking in to the clubhouse, and here's that little 7-year-old boy. Third baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The first thing out of his mouth is, do you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. I didn't know you played pro. I didn't follow his career. But he said, you know, when you saw me, I was hurting so bad. He said, I didn't want to be seen. I was in hiding. He said, but I needed to be seen. And I began to realize how many people are like that. They don't want to be seen, but they're needed to be seen. And the Bible says that the Lord is the Lord who sees us.
Amen.
He always sees us. He sees us where we are. He sees us in our pain. He sees us no matter what. And I said, God, at least open my eyes to see what I'm supposed to see.
Yes.
So I can reach who I'm supposed to reach. And see, what I found out is on top of that, you know, when you're carrying this compassion, you better have the mantle of praise on you. You'll get depressed. You know, there's a lot of weight that comes when you're hurt. So I'm always celebrating. People say, you're always so happy. I say, yeah, I literally weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice, but I do rejoice evermore. It's just something. I've chosen to have the voice of victory, the voice of triumph. I believe God's good all the time, no matter what we're facing. And I put on the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I honestly believe I will transfer weight. I don't carry it. When I bear one another's burdens, I just bear it enough to get into God's hands. Every single week, if you're in me, because we're dealing with thousands and thousands and thousands of people worldwide. So every single week I deal with people who need a miracle or it's over. And I deal with people who got miracles. And I deal with the test of the testimonies. And to be honest with you, I have to put them all in God's hands. Because I can't, it's beyond my pay grade. But I can care. Does this make sense? And I can praise God in the good times, praise God in the bad times, praise God in the storm, praise God in the midst of this, praise God when the storm's over. And most of the people that are around me, they can't even tell if it's a good or bad time because it always looks good.
Amen.
Why? Because it's a heavenly perspective. Come on, does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
Every time Jesus was moved with compassion, miracles happened. Every single time he was moved, something, some people got fed, the dead were raised, sick were healed. And the mantle of evangelism goes right along with it. And I'll be honest with you, if you don't care about the lost, check your heart. Because that is my mandate right now. Does this make sense?
Yes,
I am literally after the lost at all costs. I am called to mix with dirt. I'm the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Come on. I don't need everyone to agree with me. I don't. I don't need everyone to like me. I'm going to love them anyway. I've already made that decision. I've already made the decision. I'm going to forgive them before they need it.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
So literally, if people do things, I just release it. Always release people into God's hands. All I want to do is keep reaching. Reach as many people as we can. And we're seeing a move of God in Gen Z I've never seen before. I wish you could go to some of the places I go where thousands of teenagers are coming. Thousands of college kids are coming in. I just decided at this time of my life, I may not even be able to father them, I can grandfather them. But I'm going to speak into their lives, I'm going to speak to their destiny, I'm going to prophesy life to them. I'm going to be the life of the party. Come on now. Years ago, I decided I am not going to be a grumpy old man. Period.
Amen.
And I have never been one, man.
Amen.
I have never had it. I walk into the place, it's party time. It is. I don't care what it is. I mean, if it's a funeral, I roast the guy. Whatever it is, I'm going to find things to laugh about. I am. Why? Because people need to lighten up. Stop beating on yourself. You can't help others beating on yourself. Well, I felt as when any time I'm starting to feel depressed, I just keep reaching. I hang around other people, it makes me feel good I'm not there. Well, sometimes that's true, but it is. It's like I could have been them. I was them. That's why I'm reaching them. But I'm not them, man. I'm happy I'm not them. I'm happy to reach them. How many of you today, you want fresh oil, man? You want a second wind? How many of you got a mantle you need to pick up? And many times we carry these things in part. What happened with me is I began to carry it, especially in reaching the lost, and especially reaching the next generation. It's on me like it's never been before. And it makes no sense to me. I said, God, why do I have such a love? I said, Lord, you know my age? He said, I'm older than you. I work with him. He said, okay. I said, Lord, I don't have the energy to be cool anymore. He said, you never were. I just could fake it before. I can't even do that now. I don't have the strength to say, what'd you see and what'd you get? If you want the anointing, number one, just lift your hands up right now. Just, I believe in fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. Come on now, pick up your purpose, pick up it. And if you don't know, you may be between chapters, that's okay. As long as you're seeking the will of God, you're in it. So I tell people, I'm always, there are different places in my life. I'm right in the center, and there are other places where, honestly, I have finished one area and about ready to enter into the next. Sometimes I'm not even sure of the fullness of what I'm entering into. But God's about ready to do something fresh in your life right now. He's about ready to open incredible doors. Your gift will make room for you. So stir up the gift, the gift, the gift. Stir it up, stir it up. The one thing that has literally held back revival is dormant gifts. Because in each gifting, there's a harvest attached to the gift. I got to be my cray-cray self because there are people that need cray-cray.
Yes, sir.
Not that they don't all need me, but there are people attached to me. First thing I need to ask today, and I probably know the answer, but I don't care. I don't take it for granted. Is there anyone here? Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you kind of are. Maybe you made Jesus Lord of your life and walked away, and He needs to become Lord again. Or maybe you've never asked Him into your heart. Doesn't make a difference. He's already paid for your sins. You just have to receive.
Amen.
And I always tell people, it's so simple. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again. And all you got to do is ask Him into your heart. You know, he's already paid for it, just say, God, forgive me. And he'll cleanse you from all sin, all unrighteousness. And some of you right now, he's going to clean your filter.
Amen.
It's your filter may have gotten clogged with certain things. Your perception. You know, you can tell anytime you have a negative perception, it tells you there's something you need to get rid of. Come on. There are times in my life I said, God, you're going to have to clean the filter again. Because I'm having trouble perceiving. I'm recognizing. I'm starting to think more dread than faith. Come on. Some of you catch this right now. He's going to clean your filter.